Come on in.
In North Churchill, Frieda Green Bowling opens the door of her mossy green Italianate-style home.
Would you like some lemonade, some small batch of lemonade?
With help from the Better Housing Coalition and other nonprofits, Bowling bought this brand new property for $127,000 back in 2006. It's energy efficient with hardwood floors, three bedrooms, and a modern kitchen.
I got more than I asked for. And I'm thankful.
When she closed on the property at age 49, Bowling became the first single woman in her family to own a home. Then she became a certified housing counselor.
I knew that it was something that I needed to do in order to break the cycle.
Bowling spent some of her early childhood years in Church Hill on North 33rd Street. She lived with her grandparents, mother, and aunt in a rented upstairs flat.
What I remember most about the neighborhood in Church Hill was that it was the community. There was Davis Market on the corner. We could go over there at the Davis Market. There was a Hudson Brothers, which was a grill where you could get a hamburger. Then there was another store around the corner. I was about almost six when we left. And then I walked to school. I went to Chimborazo School at the corner of Marshall Street. And my mother and I would walk to the movies on Saturday. So everything was in walking distance.
Today, that building's been renovated, says Bowling. It costs a few hundred dollars more in rent than her current mortgage payment.
I couldn't afford to buy in Church Hill right now.
Church Hill is definitely a neighborhood in transition.
Jonathan Knopf is a researcher with HD Advisors, an affordable housing consulting firm. He says in 2012, the median sales price of a home in Church Hill was $165,000. 4 years later, those numbers jumped.
Last year in 2016, the median sales price was $215,000. So that's an increase of 65%.
The number of homes sold also increased from about 70 in 2012 to about 290 last year. Knopf says demographics are changing too. In 2000, nearly 90% of all households, including renters in Greater Church Hill, were Black. That includes Mosby Court, but not the other public housing communities. By 2015, that number declines by 20%.
We don't know if these households moved out of Church Hill or if they were specifically displaced because of housing issues, but it certainly points us in a direction to study this issue with more focus and depth.
In that same time period, the number of Black homeowners in Greater Church Hill fell by 23%, while the number of white homeowners grew by 159%.
We know empirically that communities that are diverse, that have mixed incomes, are stronger and more resilient and better places to live. When a community is homogenous, it is not a place that helps our entire city succeed. So we need to make sure there are stopgaps and measures in place to preserve families that have been living in Church Hill for decades that have really made the neighborhood attractive and have been paying their taxes and making investments in their own community, and we need to ensure that they are able to reap the fruits of their labor and remain in the communities that they are connected to. And people that are moving into Church Hill and making investments are certainly doing good and making the neighborhood more attractive, but they need to make sure that they are not excluding the people that really laid the foundation to make Church Hill an attractive and desirable place to live.
In the last two decades, the city and nonprofits have helped revitalize Church Hill by turning dozens of vacant lots and boarded-up properties into quality, affordable housing. But Knopf points out a limitation.
Most affordable housing programs begin and end at the first transaction for the home buyer. So they are made affordable to low-income persons that traditionally would not be able to afford a home on their own through many different types of subsidy, whether it's from the state, from HUD, from a nonprofit of some kind. But in many cases, the second transaction of that home does not preserve that home as affordable to that home buyer.
For example, one of the Jefferson Muse homes built by Better Housing Coalition 2 decades ago sold recently for $273,000. Another property on the same block as Frieda Green Bowling sold a few months ago for $190,000. That's about $63,000 more than the original affordable housing price in 2006. Knopf's research shows that housing prices are going up all over Church Hill. On North 26th Street, a number of homes are being built and renovated, but one of them is different. It's the first for the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust, a model used across the country to keep homes affordable in perpetuity. Nikki Diadamo-Damery is the nonprofit's community coordinator.
One of the neat things about a community land trust is that it's trying to keep homes affordable forever.
The land trust maintains ownership of the land so they can sell the house at a reduced rate to income-qualified buyers. Those buyers can pass the property down to children or a spouse who plan to live in the home. If they decide to sell, they agree to share the equity, a model also known as paying it forward.
So what that looks like is we split it 50-50. So if the property has appreciated by, say, $40,000 over the course of their ownership, the home seller gets $20,000, and then the other $20,000 stays in the house, which allows us to sell it for $20,000 below the market rate. And that trend will continue with each homeowner. So with each sale, in theory, the home is going to be more affordable than other homes in the market.
Diadamo-Damery says she's heard concerns that land trust homes could negatively affect neighborhood property values, but she says assessors don't generally include these homes when putting together comparables. She adds the model is especially helpful for working-class residents who might make too much for some housing programs but too little to afford market rate. Applicants can make up to 115% of area median income, or AMI, which is about $58,000 for one person, about $75,000 for a family of three.
So we have several designs that we use. This is one. This is a great one of our designs. This is a 24-foot wide house.
The 25-year-old nonprofit Project Homes is building the first land trust house. Director of Neighborhood Revitalization, Marion Cake, shows me around.
The ultimate compliment for us is when you can't tell whether it's an old house or a new house. So this one has a lot of Church Hill design elements to it, or elements that are common to Church Hill houses. You'll notice out front the cornice work, the corbels. It matters the distance between the roof line and the top of the windows.
Inside, there's lots of natural light, ample living spaces, and three big bedrooms. The drywall just went up. High-quality finishes and appliances come next.
It's a privilege to be able to build the first community land trust house. We were really excited to take the opportunity.
Combined, Project Homes and the Better Housing Coalition have built about 160 single-family homes in Church Hill. Cake points some of them out on nearby blocks, attractive two-story homes, one with a wraparound porch.
This is a great rocking chair porch to kind of just take it all in. It also has a direct impact on the community if you put porches in, because porches draw people outside. People being drawn outside ends up introducing them to one another. People who know one another know what's normal and know what isn't, and they'll spot something that's abnormal, and they'll take action. So I think porches really are a big part of neighborhood revitalization.
Like the Better Housing Coalition, Project Homes sells to first-time buyers, making about 80% or less of area median income, or about $58,000 for a family of four.
We've gone 10 blocks. It's taken 17 years. We are not finished. Church Hill has plenty of, and other neighborhoods around Richmond have plenty of work that we need to do, and there's always going to be a need for affordable housing.
Cake says out of the 37 houses Project Homes has built in Church Hill, he counted five that went back on the market. Some sold for more than $200,000.
I think we do a great job revitalizing neighborhoods through the production of affordable housing. We don't do as great a job at making housing perpetually affordable. Our work is, as I've shown you, it's slow and it's steady and it's one house at a time. But if you're really going to address in a meaningful long-term way the affordability of single-family housing in these neighborhoods, you're going to need something that keeps the houses affordable transaction after transaction. So that's the idea of the Community Land Trust.
The land trust is starting in Church Hill, but will eventually operate citywide. One challenge for the nonprofit and other affordable housing groups is acquiring properties. Jonathan Knopf says there are thousands of properties across the city with five or more years of tax delinquency.
Those properties are often blighted. They are often vacant and are often a drag on the neighborhoods that they are located in. The city of Richmond currently is able to auction off a few dozen of these properties every year on the private market. Many of those properties are purchased by developers that are sometimes able to turn that housing into new homes or new investments, but many of them have still sat vacant and have not seen the level of investment that we want to see within the city.
A solution is on the table, says Knopf, designating the Maggie Walker Community Land Trust to also operate as a land bank.
So a land trust is a nonprofit that has the distinction of providing housing opportunities that are perpetually affordable for low to moderate income homeowners. A land bank, on the other hand, is also a nonprofit or a municipal authority that receives vacant, blighted properties from a municipality and then holds them, does basic maintenance, and then through a strategic plan, unloads those properties to nonprofits or individuals or private developers with the goal of sometimes providing affordable housing or providing community spaces or other land uses that are beneficial to low to moderate income people or the community as a whole.
The General Assembly passed enabling legislation a few years ago to help localities set up land banks. Danville was the first in the state to do so, and Knopf and other advocates hope City Council will pass a resolution making Richmond the second.
We would continue to provide affordable housing through the land trust model, but as a land bank, we would work collaboratively with other affordable housing nonprofits in the city and in the region to create a strategic plan to use these vacant, blighted properties that we receive from the city together to provide more housing opportunities for families in Richmond.
For Frieda Green Bowling, the house she bought in 2006 was a game changer. The process was long and steep. She worked two jobs and had to get out of bankruptcy.
My stuff was tore up from the floor up. Have you ever heard that expression? That's a street slang, is when your stuff is just so messed up, you know.
There were times she wanted to quit. And when she had to write a letter explaining her financial difficulties, she didn't want to do it. But her loan officer pushed her on.
She said, you've come through fire. It was like the light at the end of the tunnel. So I wrote the letter, explained how life had come, situations had come. And at the time, T.K. Somonoff was the president of Better Housing Coalition. And so he read the letter and decided, I don't think the person who was working as the real estate agent there was too happy about it. He said, we're going to give her, sign the contract. So I signed my contract in January. I shared this at the class. My bankruptcy was discharged in February. I closed on my house in April. And I didn't have a plan B. And every step of the way, I just had to keep saying, I have my house, I have my house.
Being a homeowner isn't just about stability, Bowling says, but about being rooted in a community. Within months, she was certified to teach homebuyer classes, which she still does more than a decade later.
You know, my teaching the class is my way of paying it forward and giving back, and you know, because whatever you sow, you're going to reap.
It really does change you, says Bowling. And for those who grew up in an apartment or public housing, seeing a relative own a home can shape their trajectory.
All it takes is one. And that's what somebody had told me. They had pulled me to say, so all it takes is one person to break the cycle.
Bowling, Knopf, and other advocates also say housing-focused groups can't solve the problem alone. The quality of education, good wages, and transit options play important roles in who can access safe and affordable housing. For Virginia Currents, I'm Catherine Kump, WCVE News.